So anyways, Luke chapter 11, again, if you would please. Last week, we were able to go through the first part of this in verse 9, where he says, ask and it shall be given you. Today, guess what we're going to do today? It's the second part. That's right. Seek and ye shall find. Amen. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, Luke chapter 11, we're going to begin in verse 1, read down through verse 13. Responsively, I'll read the odd verses out loud by myself. You can join me out loud on the even verses as we go through this passage of scripture. I will begin in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will ye give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In Luke 11, we get this wonderful description from our Savior about prayer. Okay, is anybody worried about Jesus' example or teachings about the subject of prayer? Do you think he's qualified? Anybody? I mean, anybody want to question his credentials? He's qualified, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, sure. I think he knows what he's talking about, in other words. Do you think that he really understands how to get a hold of the Father and talk to the Father and do... Everybody's okay with that, right? Everyone's extremely comfortable about that, right? You should be, right? I am, okay? And so, as we look at this, we see some very important things. We've talked... Brother Andrew's over at Children's Church. I think he's filled in for me, what, 2 Sundays, right? I believe. Anybody? Maybe 3? Okay, maybe. All right, so whatever week this is in the calendar, I'll just say this. I know it's over 30 sermons on the subject of prayer. So we've talked a lot about different things about prayer so far, all right? But as we kind of nitpick, as we kind of get... you know, into the details of things. Last week we talked about verse 9 and how Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, right? And so he says that in context of this story, right? He tells them a story. He's praying. He stops praying. The disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray, right? He says, when you pray, say these things, do these things, follow this model prayer, okay? Again, I despise the term the Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. I know that's what religion and Christianity, if you will, calls it. Maybe even in your Bible, in the heading, it might say the Lord's Prayer. I just disagree with that, okay? This is the model prayer. If you want the Lord's Prayer, go to the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is praying. That's the Lord's Prayer, okay? This is a model prayer. He says, include these elements in your prayer. We learn in Matthew, it says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, right? Okay? So we see that very clearly. But he tells them about praying, and then in verse 5, he switches gears. Do you understand that, right? He says, and he said unto them, which of you have a friend? So now he's not saying, when you pray, say to Jesus, say to God, which of you has a friend, God, that would come to you in the middle of the night? You know, that's not part of the prayer. Okay, you understand that? He's now switching, and he's telling us a story. He's giving us an example of what prayer is like. He's saying, look, I'm telling you to go to your Heavenly Father. I'm telling you to pray. Right? We know that it's to make a solemn address to the Almighty Creator, right? We learned that about prayer. So he says, which of you have a friend shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Okay, so he's going, and what's he doing? He is asking, right? He's beseeching. He's making a request. We talked about the word ask last week, right? And we talked about the transitive and intransitive state of that verb, ask. Okay? Who wants the English lesson again? Nobody. Okay, good. I don't want it either. So we have to understand that. And so, yes, we ask. Okay? But, so not only does he say in verse 9 to ask and receive, he also says, the next word is, seek and ye shall find. Okay, so please, I'm trying to help us understand, because here's one thing that I despise. I despise churches, religions, people, if you will, that take things out of context to build a doctrine or build a religion, and that's just terrible, okay? So we need to understand where is this verse? It's in the middle of this story, right? It's in this story. It's in this explanation of prayer. Why does this story exist? Because the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. So this story is an example of prayer, okay? Of praying, all right? And so we have to understand that, how this all fits together. So if asking and receiving is an element of prayer, so is seeking and finding. Okay? Now, just in general, the word seek means to go in search of or in quest of. In other words, there's a purpose, right? How many of you have lost something? Okay. Now, when you realize, see, that's the first part of success, is when you realize that you've lost something. I can go for months without knowing that I've lost something. Yeah. There he is. Good friend back there. He asked me for some brake cleaner. And I said, yes, I have some. And I'm still convinced I do, Brother Dart. I know what the can looks like. I know where I last saw it. But I realized after a short time that it's lost. Now, I couldn't tell you when the last time I saw that can was, Brother Dart. I couldn't tell you that. I think it was recently, but recent to me could be any number of amounts of days, months, or years. does anybody else live in that world? Okay, it's getting more convoluted. I talked to my wife and I said, well, that was just so many months ago. No, that was 10 years ago. Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I don't know why it's like that. But no, I mean, you don't just Oh, I'm, well, Pastor, what are you doing? Oh, I'm seeking something. Well, what are you seeking? I don't know. I just am. No, there's a purpose, right? There's an object. There's a reason, correct? So he uses his story. He says, which of you shall have a friend? Something is on my finger. Friend shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. So what is this guy looking for? Yeah. He's in quest of them, right? He has a need. He says, I need 3 loaves of bread. And Kroger's closed. I don't have a car to get to Walmart, you know, and so what do? You go to your neighbor. Hopefully they're your friend, right? Or you have to go longer ways to get to a friend. But you go to somebody you know, somebody you revere, trust, respect. Hello? Oh, by the way, you go to somebody who you know has what you need. Am I right? I mean, what good would it do for me to go to a friend that doesn't have what I need? You know, if I know my friend doesn't have bread, why would I go ask him for bread? I wouldn't. That'd be a waste of time. Okay? So are you putting the dots together here? This story is very, very appropriate. Wednesday nights, okay? Remember, we just started this thing about commitment to the God that owns everything. By the way, who owns everything? Who has the bread? God does. Okay? So, yes, of course we would go seeking it from Him. Because He's got it. What's my desire? To have the bread. Right? To have the 3 loaves of bread. That's what I need. So I'm going to go looking for it in a place where I know I can get it. Because, by the way, what's the whole reason for a quest or a search? To find. Okay, so I know this. Is this too? I don't think it's too elementary. This is what prayer is. For instance, everybody remember Elijah, right? Great guy, mostly. Okay? They're on Mount Carmel. Right? By the way, how many of you have thought of Mount Carmel before? Yeah, didn't you wish you had an apple or something or some ice cream? No, come on. All right. He's there. What does he know? The God that's going to answer. What does he know also that their God's not going to answer? But you understand this is what we're talking about. These people, they pray to these false gods, not knowing if they're going to get anything. When they could go to the one that they know they can get things from, because he's got them. He's real. He exists. He's God. Folks, this is a privilege for us to seek and to find, to ask and to actually get what we ask for in prayer because of Him and because we know who we are and what we need. Jesus calls this man a friend. You know, a true friend won't just give you what you want. Hello. Isn't that right? They give you what you need. Is what we want always right for us? No. See, but I've been asking God. I've been seeking for this thing from God and He won't give it to me. Maybe there's a reason. The reason is not because he doesn't have it. He's got it. But maybe he doesn't want you to have it. Maybe you're not supposed to have it. He said, but the Bible says, if I ask, I'll receive. If I seek it, I'll find it. If I knock, it'll be opened. But do you understand there are qualifications to those statements? There are parameters to those statements. God is not just some clearinghouse, right, that gives you whatever you want. So how do you know that? James, right? You have not because he... And you have not because you ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Okay, those are the parameters, folks. So we understand this thing about seeking God. Now, in a scriptural sense, to seek God and to seek His face or seek His name is to ask for His favor. Is to ask for His divine assistance and direction. Okay, so, in other words, when we really talk about asking and receiving and seeking and finding, it has parameters. And those parameters are His purpose. Not our purpose. So here's the deal. What I am looking for needs to match up with what He wants me to find. Now, I know that may seem strange to you. But when we have that kind of relationship with God, when we seek what He's wanting to give us, then we'll find it. You understand that? When we ask for what He wants us to have, we'll receive it. And so that is what we're looking for in our relationship with Him. It's in this thing of prayer, am I seeking the right things? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, not fair. 7 minutes for 70 verses. I have all kinds of scriptures here of the precedence for what we're looking for. What is it that we're seeking? Or what should we be seeking? How should we seek? Well, all these things, because seeking is important, because He says, if you do seek, you shall find. And that's what we need to understand. So very quickly with me today, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Just a few examples and then a few comments, and I promise we'll be out before 2 o'clock. That's a promise. I mean, right? So, brother, lock the door. So I don't want anybody leaving. Look at verse 23. All right, here. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke Him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall be utterly destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Now we see here a picture painted, right? So the essence of things that we're talking about, this whole thing of prayer, this whole idea is for one being. It's for God. For us to go to God. The God. Almighty God. There are no other gods. They're the work of men's hands. They don't see. They don't eat. They don't hear. By the way, they don't give when you ask. They don't help you find when you seek. They don't open anything when you knock. They don't. One does that. God. God does that. Only God does that. You understand that he's telling the people, when you get apathetic, when you stop asking and receiving, when you stop seeking and finding, when you stop going to God and knocking on that door saying, God, I have a friend coming. I need 3 loaves of bread. Open the door. He said, you're going to forget God. And you're not going to have what you need. You're not going to receive. You're not going to find. You're not going to get things open to you. You're going to become destroyed. You're going to be utterly destroyed until you remember God. Until you remember, oh, that's where I got everything from. That's where I found it the last time. By the way, we'll go back. I'm chasing my rabbit again, okay? By the way, if you want to know, there's a cute little bunny in this bush out here. He runs when I water it. It's kind of cute. I'm going to try to catch him. Because I like catching rabbits. So. Figured it. Thank you, Mindy. I knew somebody would laugh at that. Where was I? I forgot what I was going to say. See, I do that all the time. What was I talking about? Yeah, I know before that. You're not helping. All right, well, I'll pick it up later. Do you understand that we've got to know to whom we're going? And the whole purpose of it. So he says to them, look, and until you remember and figure this out, until you think about it, that God is your everything, and that's all you need to find. It's whatever God wants you to find. You got to just look in the right place. Oh, that's, I remember my rabbit. Okay. I lose coffee cups by the dozens. I do, because I set them down and I get to doing something and I forget where I put them. And here's the thing. You know how I find them? I go to where I set them down. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Some of you laugh at me. I thought that was pretty novel. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? If you want to find something, you go to where you left it. Ta-da! It's amazing. And it's funny because I'll go into some obscure random closet and I'll turn the light on. And guess what I find? The coffee cup I left in there the last time I was in there. I do. It's amazing. And a lot of times, you know, there's mold growing in it or something and everything else, you know. And that's just, you know, how things are. That could tell you how long it's been there, okay? Sometimes it's all evaporated, you know, and just crud at the bottom of the cup. But, you know, hey, I find it. Why? Because I go back to where I left it. Folks, listen, if we know where to find things, why don't we just go back there? Where are we going to find things? With God. Guess what you're not going to find out here in the world? The things you need. You're not going to find them out here. You're going to find them at the throne of God. You're going to find them at the feet of our Savior. That's where you're going to find them. Because God is our supplier. He owns everything. He has everything. He has what we need. He's that friend that we can go to because we know He's got the bread. It's silly for me to go looking for my coffee cup out in the parking lot, because I tell you what, I didn't lay it down out there. Maybe. Stop that. You're ruining my illustration. No, that's true. I actually have set my coffee cup down out there before. But it doesn't matter. I guarantee you I left my coffee cup in some obscure closet somewhere. So that's where I'm going to go look for it. Because that's what I do. I know myself. And listen, we've got to know our God. Back to Luke. God says, Jesus says, hey, if a son asks bread of any of you that is a father. So again, where's the son going? Where he knows he can get the bread from. Where he knows that he can get the fish from. Where he knows he can get the egg from. He's going to go to the Father. He's not going to go to somebody else's house. He's not going to go here or over there. He's going to go to the Father because that's where he gets what he needs from. From the Father. David, a man after God's own heart, commanded the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? So that's a good question, right? At this time in the kingdom, was God with them? Yes. Okay. Was David overall, I know he has mistakes, he has problems, but overall, is he with God? And is God with him? The answer is yes. Okay. So he asked them a question. Is not God with you? Yes. And hath he not given you rest on every side? Again, the answer is yes. Okay. For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand. And the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. So here's what David says to the princes. Okay. So he's commanding the princes. He says, look, guys, my son needs you. All right. So here's how he directs the princes to help guide and counsel his son. He says to them, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Now, this is where we're going to, this is the meat of the message today. We are but frail people. We are but flesh. We are finite, right? God's infinite. So you understand that we have problems. In my own flesh, I'm going to look everywhere for everything I need, right? Some of the definitions for the word seek included to whatever means necessary. Right? Because that's the whole goal of a quest, is to find something. By any means. By the way, that's a world's view. Because you know what? If that means in order to get what I need, if I have to lie, I'll lie. If I have to find what I need to find, then I'll deceive. I'll undermine. I'll manipulate to get what I need. Right? Do you understand that? That's how far seeking can go? Everybody understand that, right? Is that how God wants it to be done? Not at all. By the way, Proverbs says what? Trust in the Lord with? Yeah, and lean not unto thine. Okay, so we need to trust him. So David says we need to set our heart and our soul to seek. Now, I told you before, one of my favorite passages of scripture then is Colossians 3, right? He says that we're supposed to set our affection. So here we are. Prayer, seeking, and finding. We have to reprogram. We have to say to ourselves, I'm not looking anywhere else but here. David told these princes, by the way, David told Solomon,
his son to set his heart and to seek God. In the Chronicles of the Kings, in 2 Chronicles 7, in 2 Chronicles 19, in 2 Chronicles 20, 2 Chronicles 30, 2 Chronicles 31, these are just some examples of Jehoshaphat and Asa and Hezekiah and these men of God that these are kings that actually served God. You know what it says? They prepared their heart to seek God. That's why they were successful. Because when we set our heart and we prepare our heart to seek the Lord, then we will find. And that's how prayer works. Israel was given a warning. Don't pray to any other gods. Don't serve any other gods. Don't seek after any other gods. Seek of the Lord, and you shall find. In Psalms, David writes many times things like this. O God, thou art my God. Hello. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. I love this. This is Psalm 63. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Think David's serious about this? When David's in trouble, where does he go? Oh, Joab! Right? I need your help. I need your deliverance from these enemies. No, he doesn't go to the captain. Where does he go? In his night watches, in his bed chambers, drowning his bed with tears, he's doing what? God, where are you? I need you. He's seeking after God. You're my deliverer. You're my strong tower. You're my stay. You're my everything. God, I'm seeking. Help me find. And what does God do? God helps him find. In Psalm 69, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. First Chronicles, which is also recorded in Psalm 105, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works which he hath done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, and ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Think about this. When I lose my coffee cup and I go seeking, and I, if you will, if I remember, right? All these things are associated together. What do? I find. In Deuteronomy, he said, if you tarry long here and you get apathetic, you're going to forget God. But when you remember and you seek his face, you'll find him. That's our prayer relationship with God. It's a promise. If I forget God and how good he is and how he's the ruler of everything and the owner of everything and it's all for his purpose, I'm going to go seeking for happiness somewhere else. I'm going to go seeking for sustenance somewhere else. I'm going to go seeking for the things of this world somewhere else. And when I don't find it, or when it all turns up not what it should be, I'm going to then remember, oh, because I'm looking for it in the wrong place. I remember where true joy and true happiness and true provision is. It's over here with God. Is that not the essence of the story Jesus gave? It is. Because what good father would give a kid a stone to eat instead of bread? What good father would give a serpent instead of a fish? What good father would give a scorpion instead of an egg? None. The world will. You go out to the world and look for things, They'll give you the stone. They'll give you the serpent. They'll give you the scorpion because they hate you. They're not your friend. They're not for you. The devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The world, folks, listen to me. You cannot love the world and love God. You can't do it. The Bible says so. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a fact. Seeking and finding. A few more passages. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want in any good thing. Remember Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Because we're seeking and finding in the right place. We're asking and receiving in the right place. He says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. What does that sound like to you? A quest? It does. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Blessed is the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So what do we need to do? We need to set our heart and soul to seek the Lord. We need a purpose in our heart to seek the Lord. We need to prepare our heart to seek the Lord. How do we do that? We give God our heart. Is the heart deceitful? Desperately wicked. We can't trust it. That's why I have to give it to him. God is the only one that can rule and reign and control the heart. I can't. I have to give it to him. And if I give it to him, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to receive and I'm going to find. And when I knock, it's going to be opened unto me because he's got my heart. He controls my reins. He controls my life. And I've set my heart, and I've prepared my heart, and I've purposed my heart to seek after God. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What does that mean? You found something. You received something. Why? Because you seeked. You sought. That's the right word. Because you sought and you found. Can I just give you a little observation of how my brain works? Look at that word, seeking. I think it's funny that it's seeking. Hello? Isn't that interesting? It may mean nothing, but it means something to my little brain. What am I going to, if I see the king, I'm going to find. I don't know, maybe that helps you. Help me. Because that's what it's about. This thing of prayer. Now, I have some warnings to those that do not seek God, but we're going to have to talk about that next time. Let me just give you one more verse. In Psalm 27, David said this, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Lord, I'm sorry, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That needs to be the relationship that we have in prayer with God. God says, seek and ye shall find. God says, seek my face. Our heart needs to answer. Thy face, Lord, I will seek.